We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I mean Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I am pleased to bring somebody on the show here next who has been on the show several times. We got to know each other, really, because I'm proud to serve on the board of advisors for a national organization for which he serves on the board of directors. That organization is called STARS, Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. And what we're looking at there is an organization of retired military leaders who just want to see wokeism out of our military and radicalism gone so that we can get back to fighting and raising up warriors. That organization is great, but I've been made aware here that he actually has other involvements, and I'm going to bring him on right now to talk about those. Major General Joe Arbuckle has a long and storied career. He started off serving as a MACV advisor in Vietnam and served all the way up to the point of earning 2 stars. Part of that time, I believe, included time at Redstone Arsenal here in Alabama. And he's on the phone right now. General Arbuckle, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Colonel Phil, great to be with you and with on the right side of right.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that very much.
Hey, you're right. I did serve at Redstone a couple of times because I got into the missile business and sure enjoyed it there.
Yeah, literally, Huntsville grew up around Redstone Arsenal. I mean, you can look at it. There was a time in the past when Huntsville was really kind of cotton fields and kind of a quiet little community, and then all of a sudden, space and missile came, and wow, it just took off.
Yeah, absolutely. I was there in 73 the first time as a lieutenant, and it was exactly that way. It was a great place.
Well, hey, sir, listen, I got to ask you, You've not been idle here of late. You've been pretty involved. There's two major things that have come out with some endorsements for President Trump, and your name appears in both of them. So one is called Flag Officers for America. The other is an open letter that was written by foreign policy and national security officials. And it includes a lot of heavyweight names. And like I said, you're right there in the mix. Tell us what's going on.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I'm wearing my Flag Officers for America hat right now as I'm talking about this, Phil. Basically, Flag Officers of America is just three of us volunteers, two wonderful, patriotic, very talented ladies and myself. And occasionally we'll put out an open letter, and we'll send this through an email address list that we have and ask fellow retired generals and admirals to sign it. Now, going back 4 years, we did that supporting Trump when he was running for re-election in 2020. And so now, of course, he's running again. In the latter part of July, then, we drafted a Flag Officers for America open letter and actually just started distributing it about 2 or 3 weeks ago to our list. And we now have 223 retired generals and admirals that have signed this letter supporting Trump. Yeah, 223 of all ranks, all the way from 4-star down to 1-star. And all the services are represented, including the Coast Guard. So this is great. Now, what's in the letter? I'll cover some of the key points in here, and please jump in and expand on any of them that you would like to. But basically, it opens up and says, we're supporting Trump because he's a proven leader, and that's a key point here, who will secure our border. He's going to repulse our enemies, revitalize our economy, and keep America safe and strong. That's really the guts of why we're doing this. And it goes on to say, this can be argued as being the most important election we've had since our nation was founded because of what's at stake right now. We have two diametrically opposite sets of candidates running here with different political philosophies, as we well know. And for that reason, our future is really at stake. And the letter points out, and this is critical here, our nation really has never been more divided because of a cultural war right now. And that's being supported, as we know, by the Democrat Party, all surrounded in this wokeness stuff that we continue to talk about, which is really based on their mantra of diversity, equity, inclusion. And I've talked about that before on your show and how they have some Marxist roots because it's designed to divide us. That's the whole purpose of it, and put us against each other based upon different identity groups like skin color and ethnic background and gender, etc. And we can see that playing out, that division on college and university campuses. We have these riots with Hezbollah and Hamas, flags being flown, our own flag being burned, and on American soil chanting death to America. That's a result of this cultural revolution that I'm talking about and the division within our country. Yeah. So while that's going on, the letter points out that our foreign enemies have been on the march. They see this political disorder in our country right now, and they're taking advantage of it. And who are they? Well, it's obvious. The world's on fire right now, as we point out in the letter, with China, with this aggressiveness all over, basically, in the Pacific. And we know what's going on, this 900-day war in Ukraine with Putin, Russia. Of course, Iran and what's going on with Israel, the Houthi rebels. All that is roped together because of the problems we're having domestically. And then it goes on to quote a very, very important thing, which I think you touched on earlier in your show. A recent bipartisan congressional committee result released the results of a, I think it was about a year or two long year study they did on the national defense strategy.
Yeah.
And the results are shocking. You've probably seen that. It's about 130 pages long. Let me read what's in there just for your audience to understand this. And it's very short. It said, the United States confronts the most serious and the most challenging threats since the end of World War II. That is a profound statement.
Yeah,
let me
is.
Continue. The United States could, in short order, be drawn into a war across multiple theaters with peer and near-peer adversaries. And get this, the final statement, and it could lose. In other words, we could lose. If we get in a fight with a peer would be either China or Russia, or near peer would be like for North Korea. And it says we could lose. And then we point out also the Heritage Foundation does an annual, very comprehensive study called the Index on Military Strength. It looks at every services and in multiple categories and rates those, and then puts all that together into a final assessment of our entire Department of Defense. And for the second year in a row, Phil, this very well-known study has rated our military as weak. So you put those two things together, and we are extremely vulnerable now from the national security status.
Well, I think that was so succinctly put. The reality is that letter sums up several studies, like you said. That Heritage Foundation rocked my world when I read it earlier this year. The very idea that Heritage, who's been doing this for years, would now come out and rate us as weak. But you know, one of the things that I noticed, General, and you said it right before you said a few other things, is that towards the end of your letter, right before all of the signatories of different flag ranks signed on, you end with the words, our future is at stake. I thought that was profound.
Well, it's exactly accurate, unfortunately, as we know, Phil. And, you know, there's other retired generals and admirals who have the opposite view. You probably have seen that. They put a letter out supporting Harris and Walsh, and for the average citizen, how do you evaluate which side is correct on this? And I think the answer to that is just for citizens to ask themselves some very simple questions. One would be, is their national security stronger or weaker today than it was 4 years ago?
Yeah.
I just gave you an example of assessment that says where we're at. Another question would be, are you and your family more safe today when you walk down the streets than you were 4 years ago? Your personal safety, in other words. And, of course, economically, are you better or worse off today than you were 4 years ago? And if each citizen just asks themselves that question, the answer is pretty profound and pretty obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, before we run out of time, I want to spend a few minutes here on this other letter. So you, Flag Officers for America, which you have a website, flagofficers4america.com. People can go read the letter if they want to. But now there's another one, and I not only have a copy of the letter that was sent to me, but I also have an article from, I think, townhall.com that summarizes it, that there is an open letter now from foreign policy and national security officials, and you're in the mix again. But these are people like from Mike Pompeo and Steve Mnuchin, Bill Barr, and others, Abby Gates, Gold Star families, and then any number of people who have been in leadership in the military and in civilian departments that sign on saying this year the American people have to make their voices heard and that the Biden-Harris administration's foreign policy has been marked by repeated failures. You want to touch on that one for a minute?
Sure, be happy to. What happened was last week, I believe it was Thursday, I was contacted by senior people on Ambassador Robert O'Brien's group, and he's the one that put this together, Ambassador O'Brien. And they asked me if we could integrate, because they heard about our Flag Officers for America letter, if we could integrate that with what they're doing. And so what I did was send, our team did actually send out letters to our retired signers of our letter and saying, look, here's this other letter out here from Ambassador O'Brien. If you'd like to sign up for it, and we encourage you to do that, then here's the address where you can do that. So the result was several of the generals and admirals who have signed our letter, Flag Officers for America, also signed this other one, including myself, and that's how I got involved in it.
Well, it's pretty significant. I mean, that's a heavyweight group of folks, and I realize that some of them actually worked in the Trump administration, so you would almost expect that. But the left continually tries to portray Trump as being abandoned by those who he worked with in the past. That is not the case. And you are also looking at people who have served throughout various administrations and in the military, all collaboratively saying in this one letter, we have got to make a change, and they're flat out endorsing Donald Trump.
That's exactly right. And as you said earlier, the list of people who have signed on this letter is extremely impressive and extremely long. Nikki Haley, for example, is on there, and she ran against Trump, as you know.
That's exactly right. Well, we got 30 some odd days left to run this course. And listen, I don't know how you feel about this. Yesterday, I gave a monologue on the show, and I talked about some of the principles of warfare as espoused by Clausewitz and others, and one of them is seizing the key terrain. And I said that for the next 30 days, the key terrain has got to be to quit talking about arguments within ourselves and quit looking at things we've already fought for. It's the key terrain right now is about 10% of the populace that still hasn't decided yet how they're going to vote, because those swing voters are going to decide this close election.
Yeah, absolutely agree with what you're saying there, which means that all of us have to get energized and get people out to vote that we know that might otherwise not do it.
Well, General, I tell you what, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that between your work with STARS, which is a nonprofit separate from what we're talking about now, but you're also your work with Flag Officers for America and now collaboratively with other foreign policy and national security officials, you're definitely still in the fight. And so, sir, we appreciate it very much.
Well, so are you, Phil. You know what oath we took, we all take, never goes away. There's no expiration date on it. That's what this is all about. It's about our kids and grandkids also.
It absolutely is. All right. Well, sir, thank you again for your service. We'll have you back on again sometime soon, all right?
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
All right. Major General Joe Arbuckle, he is not sitting idle. Man, that guy is out there doing stuff on a regular basis. And he is rallying up other retired generals, getting them to sign on to letters saying, oh, yeah, we're for Trump. And I looked at the list, and there's some names in there that I know that I'm like, wow, that person stands out in my mind. But then this other list, too, with the national security and defense officials, it's epic. And it's not getting reported by the left. It's not getting reported by the mainstream media. But, y'all, there's anything you're hearing about, well, these generals don't like Trump, I got news. I think they're outweighed right now. All right, we're going to move to a break. We'll come right back and put a wrap on this section. I'm not sure that we've even covered. I've got materials here I haven't even touched on yet. My desk is covered in stuff. How do I cover all this? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.